The Mystery of Russet Brook Radio. The woodland animals had a mystery on their hands, and it was about to get very serious. In a time and a place not so far from here, there was a forest on the side of a brook, and it was called Russet Brook Forest, on account of the red bracken that grew in lush clumps along the waterway. This was a very unusual forest, unique, you could say, because it had its very own radio station. Now, radio stations aren't always unique, but this one really was, because would you believe it? It was run by the forest animals. Not one human knew it was there. Far less could anyone else tune in. It was called, perhaps a little unimaginatively, Russet Brook Radio, and consisted of a very nice little wooden cabin near the babbling brook in a sunny clearing towards the centre of the forest. The animals took it in turns to present shows, and as you can imagine, there were a lot of them who fancied a go at it all. Being on the radio seemed like such fun. The Foxes hosted a jazz hour every Friday night and howled and scampered to the busy tunes in the small hours.
"It looks like a fire in a pet shop," complained the badgers who were trying to sleep. "Not as good as lettuce lunchtime. Those rabbits play requests. They don't just please themselves."
And then there was Nut Hour, hosted by Squeakers the Squirrel. He was quite the enthusiast and had a collection of over 700 nuts. And every day he would describe a choice specimen to talk about. Squeakers was quite important to the smooth running of the radio station, because as well as being an expert in nuts, he knew a great deal about radio and how it all worked. Now, I don't know if you know how radio works. I'll be honest, not many people do, and I might get it a bit wrong. Sounds are carried on waves that travel through the air. These waves are sent out from tall towers and masts all over the country, and our radios grab the waves and turn them back into sounds. I think that's the gist of it. Masts and towers are big metal pointy things that you can see on top of hills or on some buildings. The bits on the mast that do the sending can look like the aerials you have on your roof. Sometimes they look like satellite dishes or even drums. Russet Brook Radio's mast was set in the middle of a large moor called the Dale. Most of the animals didn't give the mast much thought. The Dale and the mast belonged to a man called Bill, and I'll be honest, I don't think he knew about Russet Brook Radio at all. He had much more important things to think about, being a very important man. Squeakers the Squirrel, who, as I've said, was very good at complicated things like radio, had secretly scampered to the top of the mast and set things up in the middle of the night, when Bill and the human engineers had very sensibly all gone to bed. It's never a very sensible idea to go climbing up tall things in the dark. And so it was. One day, just like any other, to the animals' surprise, their radios fell silent. The rabbits had just started Lettuce Lunchtime, a very popular show usually, but the telephones had been strangely quiet. It soon transpired that whatever they were saying was disappearing into nothingness.
"It's a mystery. Why aren't we on air anymore?"
Squeakers was called, and he shoved his glasses up his squirrely snout and checked the mixing desk and the cables and the wires and took an investigatory scamper up the mast, and something was definitely wrong. It had simply stopped working, and Squeakers just couldn't see what the problem might be. Everything was plugged in that needed to be, and nothing appeared to have fallen off. No sounds, however, came through the radios of the forest, and so the animals were left disappointing. What on earth could they do? If Squeakers couldn't work it out, who could? A meeting was called to discuss the issue.
"Well, there is one person who might be able to help," said Squeakers to the gathered crowds.
"Anything. If that mast isn't working, we'll have to find another, and there aren't any for miles around. Who might be able to save the day?"
"A stoke by the name of Detective Force Majeure. I've heard he is good at working out why things stop working. He discovers the reasons."
"I've heard about him," piped up a fat pigeon, flapping his wings. "But they say he doesn't find reasons, really. In fact, he finds the opposite of reasons. I hear he usually ends up saying it's nobody's fault, or it couldn't have been helped. And where would that leave us?"
"Well, I haven't any better ideas, and I don't expect you have either,"
said Squeakers crossly, and putting the call to the detective. The detective was a shadowy figure who was usually found where there were thunderstorms and floods, lightning strikes, and allegedly, alien invasions. As Squeakers had said, he was the expert at finding the reasons why things happened when no one else could agree, he got straight to work. With his magnifying glass, he scrutinised every inch of the radio station.
"Strange green vegetation," he said, picking up a morsel from the mixing desk.
He went to place it in a plastic bag as evidence. The rabbits pointed out that this was merely lettuce, left over from their lettuce lunchtime show, and if he didn't mind, could they please have it back?
"You shouldn't have food and drink in a studio, you know,"
the detective said pointedly, waving his hand at a glass of carrot juice which was teetering on the side of the monitor. The radio station bore no clues. None of the cables showed any signs of being nibbled, and everything was in excellent working order. So next he made his way to the mast on the Dail. He climbed the mast carefully and checked each section. Everything seemed to be in place. He tapped the drums and aerials with a small hammer, mainly as it made quite a satisfying ding noise. But then he noticed something strange. One of the big drums on the very top of the mast did not go ting, it went thunk. Taking out a screwdriver, he unscrewed the cover and there was a whoosh. Something spilled from inside, not just one thing, but hundreds, thousands of things. Nuts. A waterfall of nuts fell to the ground. As the last one tinged onto the concrete below, Detective Force Majeure knew he had solved the case, and a certain squirrel had a few questions to answer. Squeakers the squirrel was quite embarrassed by the findings, and the other animals were not best pleased, oh, I can tell you. "I used to take a few nuts up there when I checked on things and just tucked them away. That's all."
"It's wrong to hoard like that. And in any case, no one needs a stockpile that size."
"I'll have you know, squirrels have been stockpiling long before it got fashionable. You never know what's ahead,"
he shrugged.
I thought it might be a handy place to store a few. Just in case I got peckish is all."
"A few?" Detective Force Majeure said. "There were thousands. Just how peckish did you think you were going to get?"
Squirrel shrugged again. He did feel a bit sheepish. After all, he was the one who was supposed to be good at radio things. But then, no one's perfect. And he did like a nut.
"Well, in any case, case closed," pronounced Detective Force Majeure, and with a whisk of his tail, he had gone back into the shadows from whence he had come.
Divested of acorns, Russet Brook Radio could begin broadcasting again, all the time unbeknownst to Bill on the Dail. The animals were glad to be back on air, and those listening could once again enjoy lettuce lunch with the rabbits, the fox's jazz night, and of course, Squeaker the Squirrel's nut hour. After all, he had a lot of new nuts to talk about now, didn't he?